following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
All right, so the holiday season has kind of started. You know, from here in the States, it's, you know, from Halloween to the Super Bowl, which means there's going to be a lot of parties. And you're going to host a couple, maybe three or four or something like that. You'll do yourself a favor and invite me to them. Because I know if you're smart, you'll do something like get online and get you some Central Barbecue delivered to you. Yeah, if you've ever been to Memphis and you've had the taste here, you know what I'm talking. My mouth waters every time I talk about it because it's so damn good. Pulled pork, oh, slow smoked, oh, the ribs to die for. You hear me? To die for. You can get them. They're wonderful. They're delicious. And you can have them delivered straight to you. No matter where you live here in the United States of America, you've been to Memphis, you've had the taste, you know what I'm talking about. And you're sitting there thinking, well, damn, we don't get these kind of ribs where I'm living at over here in San Francisco. Well, yeah, you can now because they'll ship it straight to your house. Check it out. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com. I'm talking about Central Barbecue. You click on that banner ad and it takes you straight to their shop where you can order up what you need to fill the hungry people that are going to be coming to your house this holiday season. Do it two or three times, man, because it'll be the biggest hit at your party. I'm telling you. Man, where'd that food come from? It came from Memphis. It's the taste of rock and roll. It's the taste of the blues. It's the taste of Memphis, and it's an exclusive thing at cbqmemphis.com. Look for them. Central Barbecue, proud sponsors of this show, which we're going to start right now. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar. And this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another fabulous episode from Radioland. Hey, you know, we're still counting it down till we get closer to our 100th, which is going to be here before you know it. And at that point, this show will, of course, be changing. And you know, hey, change is good. It's time, you know, we did 100, I can't believe what we've done it this long, damn near 100 episodes so far, and for us, that's a big deal. For me, it is, at least. It just, you know, I add to my, I'm on my own worst enemy a lot of times when it comes to stuff like this, because it's a matter of getting, you know, deeply involved in something on a level that requires more work, and that becomes a bit of a hassle, a bit of a headache. Is you know, you very well may know, people become their own worst enemies in many aspects. You know, it's like, hey, there's something I want to do, something I really want to do, and I want to get involved in here. And as I do this, I realize now that I'm just adding more to my plate, but. Since I really like doing it, I'll make the time and I'll make it happen. That's how that works, and it's difficult at times for sure, but it's well worth it. At least for me, it is. Is it the end all to be all? No, not at all. But here's the thing: as time goes on, and things, you know, they take a life of their own, much like this show has. As you've heard, we've got a whole new voice on here. I mean, I'm still here, but the intro and outro pieces are all brand new, thanks to our good friend, Mr. Joel Martin. And you'll be hearing more of him and all of that. I need to get him on as a guest of the show, actually, now that I think about it, because that's what we're doing now. Starting with the 100th episode, it'll be guest-driven. And I'm hoping I'm not biting off more than I can chew with that, because really all I've done is just add more work to myself by doing it. But, you know, hey, it's all about entertainment. It's, you know, my job is to entertain you. And that becomes a bit of a contentious effort for a lot of people, because it's like, well, you know, you're giving it away. I pretty much am. Yes, I do this for your entertainment. But there's a lot more to this. You know, I have been in this business for many years, and I try and keep up with what's going on, you know, out there as far as technology goes. And when podcasting, you know, really kind of took off here of late, you know, first of all, I didn't really want to do a podcast. I really didn't want to get involved in a production like this. Because frankly, and right and mistakenly, I thought that this would be sort of a pointless exercise in futility. I was like, who's gonna pay attention to this? Who cares what I want to say? And then, you know, then it was explained to me by my good friend Jeff Janowitz, that we have you know, we have a radio station. I do a radio show. Yes, there are listeners to that, and I appreciate all of that. All of the great blessings that have come to Radio Memphis over the years has been fantastic. So it did, you know, once it was explained to me that, look, it's a natural fit. You're already kind of doing it. You're doing it obviously live. So let's do it in a fashion where it is pre-recorded, because then it becomes an on-demand thing. And when it's on demand, then people can listen to whenever they want to. And when you do that, then you reach a broader audience. It's much along the same lines as me doing the Scope, Periscope thing. I call it Scope for short. But it is, it's Periscope. If you're not familiar with Periscope, as I wasn't either, but I quickly got onto it once I saw how kind of cool it was. Periscope is cool. It's now been taken over by Twitter. So if you have a Twitter account, all you have to do is download the free app to Periscope, and you can get involved in a live conversation. I do it a couple of times a week right now. That's probably going to expand some more. Hell, it may have expanded by the time I've done this, because it is reaching a larger audience. It's reaching new people. We're trying to bring some new folks into the fold here, which is good, because even though I'm not really greedy about much of anything, I am greedy with listeners. I know that sounds horrible, but you know, I'd like to have as many listeners as possible, because the more listeners that we have and the more people that take part in the engagement of the things that we do, then it's easier for me to make a living with. And that allows me to bring to you the type of programming that we do each and every day. I mean, it's obvious that there are people who like what this show is all about, and I appreciate that. And we're going to expand on that by moving to our new hour-long format coming up in a couple of months. So with all that in mind, you know, you embrace the change, you go with it, and you make it happen. And, you know, I've got it kind of mapped out, kind of what I want to do with it. Now, whether or not this is a whether it's going to be exactly the way I'd expect it to be, who knows? A lot of times when you lay out big plans, they don't really ever really come out the way that you expect them to. The best laid plans of mice and men sometimes don't always come out the way you want them. Sometimes it's usually for the better. So that may be the way we're going to have to go with it. We'll have to see how it goes. We'll have to shake it out. And, you know, and I'm sure there'll be some that'll go, you know, I may lose some listeners in the process. If you're one of them, my apologies. Then again, I don't think so. I think you have had enough of me talking on my own about certain things. And it's not like I can't do that anyway, because, you know, this is really, in essence, just almost a half-hour monologue, depending on some of the things that cross my mind, whatever I want to get into. It's absolutely no preparation goes into this thing, isn't that painfully obvious? But when we go into something that's not even, even the new version of this thing is not going to be that well prepared. The idea of bringing in some guests to interview is because there are people that I personally like talking to. There are people that I enjoy the things that they do. And as a result of that, I want to be able to share that with you. And, you know, like it or not, that's just kind of how it works. And you just go with it, and we'll have some fun along the way, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, you know, one of the points that you know, the people that we'll be talking to hopefully will be some that you already know of, in essence, relatively famous people. There'll be some that you've never heard of before that need some type of exposure for whatever case that may be. And they're just interesting folks. And I think that's kind of what a lot of people want to, you know, like, hey, have you heard this thing? Because he did an interview. That's why Mark Maron is so successful. Not that I'm comparing myself to Mark at all. Mark is an absolutely tremendous podcaster, and he's a great entertainer, and he's very good for the medium. Do I want to be like him? No, not really. I'm not really copying much of what he's doing either. I just, you know, I think interviews tend to go far better in this type of medium than other avenues. It's, you know, because we have the ability to sit down and spend some time with people that may have something that's relevant to your knowledge, something that you may need to be aware of, something that you may find fascinating or interesting, or somebody that does something that you've often wanted to know how it was done. And now you absolutely have that ability to learn all these things. So that's why I want to do it. And it's something I've always kind of wanted to do anyway. And we knew it would be a matter of time, because I needed to get into the rhythm. I know it's taken like 2 years to get to this point, but still. And you'll want to be a part of it. So my thanks in advance for all of that. And yes, I'm still going to do a monologue. I'll probably do, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or something like that. Maybe about 10 minutes. And then we'll get into the interview thing on this deal like that. And then we'll continue on. It'll be fun. Some various goofy little changes that are happening along the way. So, yeah, be patient with us as we do that. Now, having said all that, I was, you know, because people do ask, they go, well, so, you know, what are you going to do your podcast on this week, bro? What are you going to do? And I don't know, oftentimes, not until I press the little red button, do I really have any idea of what direction this thing may go. And I like it that way because I'm used to the live environment. I don't work with a script unless there's something that's very particular that has to be produced in a proper manner, like, say, a commercial. That's usually a scripted thing. Obviously, the spot that we run here for Central is not. That's an ad-lib thing because it just we feel that was a good fit for what those folks are doing. We love them to death. The Blondis family have been very kind to Pirate Radio Studios in supporting of this podcast and the radio station. So we love having them on board as a result of that. But no, going back to what it takes to put this show together, I don't really, you know, if I go to sit down and it's time to record the thing, and then I have to, you know, I have to come up with something. What am I going to talk about? And very, very rarely do I ever have what is called, I guess, like a writer's block, but a type of, there's very rarely a time when I kick it on and go, what the hell am I going to get into? Because it just, it does come. There's a lot of things that come my way mentally that I do want to mention because I find these topics to be somewhat interesting. So with that in mind, one of the things that I thought I would get into because it's been floating around there is the people who, and we've talked about conspiracy theories before and just how nutty those folks can really be. Eventually, though, one of them may be right because it's a crapshoot. They're just shotgunning theories over and over and over into the world. And some of them are outlandishly crazy. It's like the people who think that we have faked the moon landing. You know, I don't buy that because look, statistically, first of all, yes, we did go to the moon. They said, well, it was faked on a soundstage in Arizona. That's how it was all done. To fake that would have cost a lot more than to actually send a man to the moon. Now, of course, nowadays with special effects, you could pull that off. You could fake it. You know, the people who deny certain things to deny the existence of certain events that have actually happened. I mean, it's like the people that have jumped onto this whole school shooting deal because it happens all the time. You know, it's like, oh, it's a false flag that we're trying to distract the American people from what really matters in the world. Look, that argument is not valid either because most people, including those of you who were listening to this, have the ability. It's really quite fascinating that there are people who have the ability to focus on more than one thing at a time. That's a fact. So using the whole false flag thing is sort of a joke. It's like the, you know, the people who have, in my estimation, who have insulted this country by saying that the events of September 11th was an inside job. Look, to be honest with you, I didn't particularly care for the president that was in the White House at the time that had happened. But there's no way that monkey could have figured out a way to do that, to make it an inside job. For what purpose? What purpose did he? Well, he needed it so he could, start a war in the Middle East. Well, first of all, no, that's not necessarily true. You don't need to have an excuse to go to war. We have proven that. You know, I know they tried to use it by saying that, you know, that the terrorists are in Iraq and we have to go there now because they destroyed a couple of our monuments in this country and they killed a bunch of people. That's bullshit. The president has to have a Congress to help him declare war, and he didn't do it. So what he did was, executive order. Boom, we're going in. Screw Congress, because he didn't have the evidence it took to go in, and that's my point of view. And here he was, you know, the guy that was behind all of this was hiding in the hills of another country completely. So, you know. it's, you know, for what it is, for what it's worth, the people that, that want to deny the realities of things, you know, that there was some sort of a conspiracy behind any of this stuff. I mean, part of it, who knows? I mean, I don't know if we'll ever know the full truth of a lot of it. And to be honest with you, I don't know that I want to know all of the truth, because it becomes an issue of contention, a bone of contention. You know, we still battle over the death of JFK. You know, he was assassinated in Texas, and now it's like, you know, who was the shooter? Why was there extra shots and stuff like that? I mean, we may never really know the full truth behind it. Personally, I do. My theory is that the mob did it because they didn't get the payback. They didn't, you know, in essence, from the Kennedy family. You know, the mob got, the theory is that the mafia got Jack elected to the White House, not realizing that Bobby was going to take over as attorney general, and his number one focus was to take down the mob. And when the mob went back to Joe Kennedy, the father, and said, get the, you know, get your son out of our business, and, you know, and pay us the respect that you owe us because we got your kid in the White House, and didn't do it, then they wound up taking out the kids. And then, of course, Joe Kennedy himself, you know, wound up having a stroke over the whole thing and became a prisoner in his own brain. That becomes a problem. Of course, the latest trick in all of this in the conspiracy world is, and it's the big one, it's the people who deny, well, before I get into this, there's those that deny the existence of the Holocaust. And that that also, to me, is quite the insult to say that it never really happened. That's insane. It's insane to me. I know we brought this up before, and I'm not going to dwell on that. But the newest one, of course, is the denial of climate change. I saw a post from somebody who actually was a denier of it, because I don't understand their, first of all, I don't understand their methods, and I certainly don't understand their motives. But these, but this guy was saying, he goes, well, yeah, man, they had to change the name of, they had to drop the term global warming because now they refer to it as climate change. Well, you know, to be fair, yeah, that was really what kind of what it was. But, I mean, yeah, they did change it. It's probably more correct to refer to it as climate change because you're seeing a lot of extremes in weather. I mean, Jesus Christ, we had that strongest hurricane ever recorded history out in the Pacific Ocean. You can't tell me that it had nothing to do with the change of the climate. But, you know, to sit there and go, you know, the government is trying to, you know, tell us these things so they can, you know, they can ruin our lives. What, I don't understand why it would be such a bad thing for us to live in a cleaner a cleaner world, you know. Man did not cause the warming of the earth. Yeah, because what, you don't want to be told that you can't drive your big gas guzzling SUV around? Is that what it is? Is that the point of the whole thing? You know, is it such a bad thing for us to get off of fossil fuels? Look, I'm a car nut, man. I love cars to death. I drive a little hot rod myself. I enjoy the hell out of it. But there may come a time where we just have to put that down, and we may have to stop. It may not happen in my lifetime, but nevertheless, I mean, you have to think about these sorts of things. It's better for the common good of society if we you know took care of the home that we live in and on. It's not such a bad thing. But to sit there and go, well, they had to change the name, you know, because they knew that we were right. I refuse to do this. You know, another argument is that the wind farms, you know, where you see the big windmills all over the place, and they're saying now that, which this makes no sense, that the windmills are causing turbulence in the atmosphere, and it makes it difficult for planes to fly. Well, first of all, these wind farms aren't 30,000 feet into the air. Second of all, if wind is blowing through this thing and making the blades turn, which turns the generator, which generates electricity, I don't understand how that would cause turbulence. It's not like it's a fan that has a motor that's driving it, that, you know, like an oscillating fan. It's not creating wind. It doesn't, I don't know that it would affect the, I'm not a scientist, and I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm, Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com. You can vent your spleen there if you don't like any of what I'm saying, if you think I'm completely wrong. I'd love to hear from somebody that says,
Rick, you're all wrong about this sort of thing because, you know, this is all a matter of the government trying to control everything. This is why the Denver International Airport is built like it was, you know, because, you know, they made it like a big prison because it's really nothing more than a giant FEMA camp. So they can put us all in there when the shit goes down and they don't like you because you said something bad about them.
You know, it's ridiculous. That's another thing, the FEMA camp thing, which is hilarious. But you know, if you look at the way this world operates, this country here in the United States, I think we have the market cornered on crazy. Because I don't know that there is such a thing as too many conspiracy theorists roaming around in other countries, you know, bitching about what they do. And there are countries out there that actually kind of deserve it far more than we do. You know, God help you, the people in China, they are not in a position where they can bitch about their government for fear that they're going to be wound up in some type of a factory, a sweatshop of some sort, because that's ultimately what happens, you know. But yeah, we all turn a blind eye to it because we're all too busy consuming products made by these people. You know, we're not going to say, well, this is kind of a shitty thing to do, but you know, it costs far less to produce said products, so therefore I don't have to pay as much for it if I buy it from if I have it manufactured in China. But nobody raises an eyebrow about that. But here in the States, we're worried about whether or not climate change is a real thing. Global warming. Oh yeah, how about that global warming? It's snowing. It's snowing in Washington D.C. in December. Well, no shit, Sherlock. It's wintertime. That's what it does. Are we seeing the sea waters rise? Yeah, absolutely. Are we seeing a lot of that stuff happen? Yes, absolutely. You have 99% of the scientists and climatologists out there that all agree that it was man-made that caused it. It's a man-made cause because, I mean, shit, just during the age when we really started pumping, you know, burning a shit ton of coal, you know, back in, you know, was it during the, you know, well, shit, right before the Civil War. I mean, and then after that, during the restoration period, and then you had the big boom and, you know, people were generating electricity and then we were doing all of these things. We were just belching out poisonous gases into the atmosphere because, frankly, we didn't know. We didn't know that that was causing problems. And so the coal people are going, you know, our stuff burns cleanly. Yeah, you're also pumping a shit ton of CO2 into the atmosphere. It doesn't matter how clean it is, it's still CO2. And, well, the trees, bro, the trees like the CO2. So that's how they breathe. And then they put out oxygen and then we breathe and then we put out CO2. And look, man, it's not going to do you much good if you keep cutting the fucking trees down. Leave those alone. We can't have that because we have to strip our forest land down. We got to have it's a never-ending cycle, and sometimes I feel like I get caught up in it because when I read some of these things, and I'm smart enough to realize that if I engage somebody online, a troll, if I feed a troll in social media, Facebook, wherever, that is making this ridiculous statement, I know I'm entering in a no-win situation. It's just sad. But people are going to be people. They're going to lay out their points of view out there because, A, you have that right to do it. Now, by all means, please do it. But just be somewhat educated about it. Would that be so tough? Learn about the things that you're doing and that you're saying so you can make it, you know, kind of to your advantage. That would be solid. Can we start with that? That would be big. It doesn't have to be, you know, terribly complicated to sit down and look at what's going on. You know, it's like the people that post up there and they go, oh, the president, oh, he's not a citizen of the United States of America. He was born in a foreign country and now there's questions about his social security. Let it go, man. Has he hurt you? Has he done anything to you?
Yes, he has. I don't know exactly what it is. Oh, he's forced this insurance on us, this, you know, this Obamacare.
Has he come to your house and taken away your guns, although we probably should have that happen?
Well, you're just a traitor, Rick.
No, I'm a realist. Because if y'all are bitching about, we got to have our guns because if the government goes wrong, then we have to take up our arms and go against the government. Let me tell you, from what I'm seeing, most of y'all have been bitching about the government for the past 7 years, and ain't one of y'all motherfuckers haven't done anything about it to stop it. Nobody's taken up arms and tried to be seditious or traitorous about the whole thing. None of you. But by God, you're not going to have that gun taken away from you because that's all you got. I know it's controversial. But the more I think about it, the more I really think that, you know, we're done with it. You know, the people that sit there and bitch and whine and moan about if, you know, an armed society is a polite society. That's complete horseshit. That is a tired excuse. That shooting in Texas some time ago it was like over a year, I guess, a year and a half ago, where the two biker gangs, they broke out into a damn shootout and they wound up arresting they could have arrested like 10,000 people. I mean, it was a shitload of people that got arrested. And they were all armed and they were all shooting at each other. Now tell me how that's a polite society. Oh, they were all they were bikers, man. They were people that shouldn't have had guns in the first place. All right, genius. How are you going to regulate that? Because every school shooting that we've had here, almost every shooting in this country has come from a legally obtained gun. It's been determined that.
Well, it's just the media trying to tell you that, to show you that the laws are good, that we don't need more gun laws.
You know, maybe we don't need more gun laws. Maybe what we need is to enforcement of the ones that we have, for starters, and maybe strengthen them a little bit.
Convicted felons are not allowed to have guns, man.
That's right, but they somehow get them.
It's a legally obtained gun, man. You just voided your own.
Why do you have to have it? What are you doing? People that like to go hunt, okay, are you doing it because you can't go to the grocery store? The cost that gets involved in the permits, the guns, the ammunition, to meet all the regulations, to pay to rent the land, whatever it is that you're doing, the processing of the meat and all that, is it really necessary that you have to go and hunt? Has it come to that?
If you don't hunt, the deer will take over everything.
I've heard that argument before too. It's a matter of thinning the herd, right? You know, drive through the middle part of this country where the feedlots are, and these are the places where the cows are raised specifically to show up in your hamburger. And you go to a fast food place and you get a burger, and you don't think about the fact that patty, that little 4-inch patty, is actually made up of about 40 to 60 cows. That's frightening, man. And, you know, but it's the American way. And so we now have a deal in place now where we have two slaughterhouses in this country to slaughter horses. Why?
Because the horses are taking over.
Really, how are the horses taking over? Are they cutting into your supply of everything? Look, we still live in a country that everything is reasonably priced. Hell, we have aside from the Middle East, we have the cheapest gasoline in the world. You know, our food prices go up and down because that's just the market, and there's more of us to feed, so there's only so much to do that with. But, you know, having said all that, all the arguments about some of the things that happen it doesn't matter whether it's gun control, whether it's climate change, global warming, whether we landed on the moon or not, whether these school shootings are valid or real, or if they're false flag events, that none of this has happened because the government's trying to fool you. Whatever argument that you have in any of that is null and fucking void. It doesn't hold any merit. Doesn't hold any water. Nor will it ever. That's the whole point of this. And you have to put your foot down and realize that if you want to contain an argument about something, because now there's no excuse. The playing field is level. If there's something that you want to know on a factual basis, not someone's opinion, but on a factual basis, you can do that. There's no excuse. Ignorance should not be around. We do not have the right to be ignorant about anything.
Man, you can't trust the source because it's written by people that are in support or in denial of it.
Then guess what, genius? There's more than one source. Look at it on both sides of the view. If you are a conservative-leaning person, then read the stuff in the conservative media on a particular topic. By all means, do that. That's what turns your crank. You want to see it from the other side? Take a look at it from a liberal point of view. And then somewhere in the middle, you'll find the truth. Trust me on this. That's kind of how this works. You don't have to trust either side, but you should read both sides so you can understand exactly what's trying to be said and what's being communicated. Because somewhere in there, you're going to find the truth. Because a lot of times you'll see where people, they just exaggerate shit to make it more than what it really is, just to prove their own points. And whatever that point may be, whether it's valid or not, shouldn't matter per se. It's the ideas that are trying to be presented to you in a clean and concise way that is factual, something that you can look up as a fact, something that you can personally verify as a fact. Climate change is a fact, and it was a fact that it is being caused by our presence on this planet. That may be an uncomfortable thing for you to have to hear. But guess what? If you clean up your life a little bit, and if we do it as a society, things may not be all that bad.
But we can't change our way of life, man, because this is what it was like when I was a kid, and this is what my grandfather was like when he was a kid, and this is how we lived. And shut up.
Holding on to the old ways doesn't make things work. Change is an inevitable thing, and it's almost always a good thing. So do it. Be a part of the change and embrace it. Hey, we're doing it here at the show. I'm changing things here. It's the way it goes. It's the way life is.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
It's different if you're sitting there and you go, wow, you really went. Do you have any pictures? I'd like to see them. Instead of just, you know, forcing them onto people, which is really what Facebook is all about.
Like me, like me, like me, like my picture. Look at my grandbabies. Oh, my God, look at them. Oh, they're just, look, there's a picture of my ham sandwich I'm having for lunch.
Stop it. The previous year, Starbucks iconic holiday cups, which the chain used in lieu of white cups in November and December, featured wintry or Christmas-themed designs like snowflakes, ornaments, and nature scenes. This year, the cups are more minimalist. It was meant to embrace the simplicity and the quietness of the holiday season. It's a huge problem for some people who feel that the plain red cups are oppressing Christians by insulting Christmas. Oh, fuck you. That's right, because I'm going to find my eternal salvation printed on the side of a cardboard cup full of shitty coffee.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Wow, so that's impressive. You've heard what's coming up next time here on the program as we continue on our march toward episode 100. If you're new to the program, want to learn more about where we're at, well, you just heard where it's all. If you want to get involved, you've heard how to Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com. Drop me a line. Say hello. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter. Look for me at Rick Cheddar on Twitter. And if you do so, you'll be up to speed, up to date on when the new Periscope episodes come out, which happen pretty frequently. And if you follow it, you'll see what's going on. I don't get Twitter. Just play with it a little bit. It's not complicated, really. It's so simple, it's confusing a lot of people. I get it. I understand that. But it's a great way to get some news, and it's a great way to figure out what's going on. It's a great way to keep up with people that you know and the people that you like. So follow it, have some fun, and we'll see you out in Periscope land, which is really nothing more than a giant big ball of fuzzy fun. So there. All right, I'm done. I'm out of here. We'll see you next time. You heard what's coming up then. So in the meantime, take care of yourselves and take care of one another, and we'll do it again next week. All right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.